ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Shortstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday. I'm The Usual Suspects. We're all pleasant and present and accounted for.
This is a disaster.
F yeah. And by the way, Nick, F you, as we get this show started the right way, as all three of us are ready.
Whoa.
For one heck of a Friday.
Wow, you guys missed the pre-show banter.
I make
you
one
no
comment.
Idea what's going
enough.
On.
One comment about your shorts, Joel.
Yeah.
And I get an FU.
So we've been wearing jeans every day for a while now. And oddly enough, today I was like, you know what? I'm wearing shorts. It's August. It's probably not going to last much longer. I'll wear some shorts. So I did. And then I get here and lo and behold, Joel decided he would wear shorts today, and he did.
Yep.
And so I pointed it out as we were waiting for Palillo and Hoffman to go off the air. We're standing out front in the hallway. And Nick, what did you say?
I said the styles are about 25 years apart, is what I said.
And so I mean, he meant you.
Yeah, that I had on the old shorts, which, nope, these are very fashion-forward. The standard for today's fashion, right, Nicholas?
Absolutely. I said if I had to choose between the two and say which one is closer to 2019, I would choose Barry. And then Brahil came in and he said, your shorts are a 90s cut.
No, he did not.
He said it was a 90s cut.
Definitely more modern and fly. No doubt about it. Then he said it's because the brand Jordan, because brand Jordan has everything baggier. And he's like, but because of the fact that they're baggier shorts.
I didn't know JNCO made shorts.
You're wearing borderline bike shorts.
My shorts fit. I'm wearing skinny shorts. What's wrong with that? I mean, they fit properly.
Mine fit properly, too, and they're awfully comfortable.
You and Nick could get in those together and still have room for somebody else. They're baggy. They're huge. They like, what did Radu call them?
Intern Radu then chimes in. The man who has absolutely no athletic ability or athletic fashion. And he decides to go, yeah, those look like they should be on the sideline for someone watching a dunk contest in 1998. Yeah, that was exactly what I said. Holy cow, he had me pegged.
I've seen you wear shorts like that, but when you're standing next to Barry, then I realize the gap in generations
of styles. So the difference is that mine are like comfortable and longer, that mine are out
comfortable.
Of
they look like pajama shorts.
Like that's what Chris Webber and Juwan. Yeah. That's the Fab Five. Those shorts.
Are those capri shorts? Because they go far down. They go halfway to your shin. Those are like they're like capri.
Yeah, I took them from Payne Stewart's closet. I wanted to make sure I had a knicker selection if I needed it. The socks that match them are fantastic.
Oh god, that's so funny. I wasn't expecting any of that.
Yeah, me either.
Me and Joel were just hanging out, being cordial. Hey, you wore shorts too. Yeah, that's cool. And then Nick just, here goes the hate grenade.
Yep.
Just throws in the middle of us.
And after he threw it, he just bailed into the producer's room. I'm like, oh, that was nice.
So Raheel was out there talking mess too?
No, so I asked him.
Go ahead.
So I asked him. I go, Raheel, get in here.
Oh, you see, you shouldn't have.
And Raheel was like, no, those are definitely fly. Those are more modern. He goes, but the fact that because of the fact that they're baggy. And I said, you know Jordan runs baggy.
How old are those?
Like a year or two.
No way.
These are Jordan, Barry. The Jordan logo's right there.
Dude, Jordan, I wore Jordans in high school in 91.
So?
You can't tell me that they just now started making shorts last year.
I love
year.
How we have other interns and other guys that know athletic gear that was like,
oh, God, you're not going to use Raheel as your as your propping up point for fashion, are you?
No, I'm talking about other people, too, that said, oh, man, those shorts are dope when I've worn them in the past.
We're going to have to poll.
The fact that I could, first of all, let me make this very clear. I could care less what you guys think because I like them and they're comfortable. So let's make sure that we establish that.
I don't know. I don't get that vibe that you could care less.
No, I just... I could care about what was said and all your guys' commentary. Yeah,
who said they were dope? What? Who's out there?
Several interns. I wore them like a couple weeks ago.
Go out there and ask them. I don't believe that.
It wasn't today, Barry. It was the interns that were here like the last time I wore them a couple weeks ago.
You wore those 2 weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago. I don't know if it was two. Hmm. I wasn't counting.
All right. Well, how was your night?
Better than my freaking day. I can tell you that. Gee.
Oh, that's good times to get it rolling. Yeah. That's fun.
So what do you got?
I got nothing, man. Last night, I had a private gig. Every once in a while, you'll have a corporation or an entity hire you as a professional stand-up comedian to come in and do a show for them. Mm-hmm. And last night, I did a show for a private corporation that was basically assisted living, and it was the average age in the room was maybe 70.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there, but I actually had someone drive me to the grocery store.
You heard it was me, so and you were like, come get me.
I was gonna text you and say, hey, bro, I'm not gonna be able to make this one.
That's funny. I was so nervous because you never know. I've done two of these now. I did one back in December for, you know, older, we'll just call them seniors, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the thing when I asked the promoter, I was like, what is the crowd? He goes, active seniors. I was like, oh boy. All right. The money was too good to pass up. But so I've done a room with seniors in the past, and it was outstanding. It was so fun. And then I did one a couple years ago where I swear to you, Andy Huggins looked like a teenager in that room. They were it was crazy. And Andy did it with me, and he was like, I've never been around so many old people in my whole life. And Andy's 68. And so that one was the time when halfway through my set, this old lady goes, you seem like a nice young man, but can we just go back to playing bingo instead? In the middle of my set, I had a 90-year-old lady heckle me like that. So I had no idea what I was in for. I will say this, last night was a lot of fun. Nobody heckled me. They were into it. I did 53 minutes of clean comedy. I have never done that in my life. I don't write clean comedy. I don't think clean. So I was like, well, this will be...
Not even when you're high.
Yeah, this will be fun and interesting. And I made it through. So my hat's off to everybody that was there. It was a lot of fun. They got me drunk. No, I mean, I had like two beers. I wasn't drunk, but it took the edge off of not knowing what was going to happen. Because, man, when you walk in a room and you see that there's just a bunch of grandparents. What was cool, though, is that some of their family was there. So it's like a... Like, not an assisted living. I don't know. I don't know what they call it. It's not like an old folks home, right? They have their own apartments, but there are people there to help them or monitor them, take them places.
Well, it's like when my parents were still alive, they contemplated moving down here on the backside of the Woodlands in College Park.
Yep.
They have a 55 and older community.
That's what this place is.
Yeah. And there's a name for it.
And it's not necessarily assisted living. It's
right.
Something
but it's like, they're right? You know, everybody's on their own, but if they need help with something or, you know, there's like a center point, like a headquarters.
Independent living. There you go. That's what it was. Right. I had to Google it. It's independent living, but they still have, you know, folks there. And but it was, I was surprised at how much fun I had, and they had a good time. And so, yeah, they were like, well, we got to bring you back next year. And I was like, ma'am, I don't think you know how hard it is to come up with 53 minutes of clean material. It's taken me 6 years. And I've been sweating and working my butt off all week to get to 53 because I knew I had 40. I was like, how am I going to get another 13 or another 10? And figured it all out. She goes, well, just come back next year. I was like, there's no way I'll come up with another. She goes, they won't remember. She goes, they won't remember what you did this time.
I was going to say, I thought she said, well, why don't you and Nora just come over for cookies next week at 3?
Oh, she was awesome. It was a good time. So I was nervous to do that. But nope, it worked out great. So I did miss apparently pretty badass game by pitched by Garrett Cole.
Yeah, you know, you look at what the odds were, and the odds were almost as much in the Astros' favor last night. But you look at the tale of the two pitching performances, and though Verlander only gave up two hits and they were both home runs, boy, I'll tell you what, Cole from the get-go just decided these guys shouldn't be able to touch what I got. And you could tell he was throwing majority fastballs. He was like, I dare you to hit this. And you know, his first strikeout was 98. Wow. And he just, when he needed it, he just ramped it up, and they had no chance.
I was watching highlights on SportsCenter because I missed it, and I was seeing where he was hitting 99. I just thought, man, with the stuff that he has and to be able to ramp it up to 99, that's just filthy. There's it's no wonder that, you know, he's putting up the numbers that he's put up, and he's obviously, I mean, I'm driving in listening to Charlie break down the similarities between Verlander and Cole. And it's no wonder, though, that he's doing that. His stuff is just ridiculous.
The other thing that I like, though, was, like, between innings, and even when he got a guy swinging, he was, you could see, he was working on, no, that release point was too high. No, that was too high in the zone.
Really?
And after every inning, which was interesting, they said the difference between Verlander and Cole is Verlander just wants to be left alone the whole game until he's done.
Yeah.
Whereas Cole wants to talk to not only his catcher, but in some cases, either AJ and or Brent Strom. And he's talking constantly about trying to work through, like, was this pitch in the right spot? What do I need to do better there? And they showed that, and you could really see that during the game, he was fine-tuning. Even though the result was great, he got a strikeout.
Yeah.
He was mad at himself, and he knew what he had to do to get better, and that's what I really, really enjoyed
about
last night's game.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so that was good. And then your boy Biagini came in, and he just cleaned up.
My boy? Okay, now I'm going to have to pump the brakes a little bit. I've got some guys I'm a defender of in that Astros bullpen. Biagini is not one of them.
You've always said he has great personality.
He's funny.
Yes.
That's just, that it
what
ends
else
there.
Is funny
three
is they
earned
made
runs.
The trade for him, and he absolutely got lit up his last appearance in AAA, but they brought him up anyway. I turned the TV off after 8, thinking, this one's over.
Yeah.
Then I started seeing people on Twitter, and I went, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And Osuna had to come in to get a save in which was otherwise a shutout 6-0.
And then he walked a guy.
Yeah. No, I believe in him, too, now.
You shut up.
See? So
279 ERA. Oh. Yeah.
5.40 plus since the
All-Star
break.
Guess who else has a 2-something ERA? Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander.
They're starters.
He's the Garrett
they pitch
Cole.
A lot more innings.
He's the Garrett Cole of the bullpen.
You remember that.
Suck it.
Yeah, he's blowing it by everybody.
Yeah. Hey, I want to tell everybody our comedian of the week. I'm finally excited that I'm able to say Theo Taylor is our comedian of the week. I've been hounding this guy for a very long time to get me some audio that I can throw up on the Comedian of the Week set every, 15 after of each hour. So Theo Taylor, we'll have more about him on the other side, but stick around and listen to him at 1:15, 2:15, 3:15.
There you go. Those are the clips from the Comedian of the Week. We also have Cody Stutes at 1:30, Sarah Barshop, ESPN's Texans beat writer at 3:30, and lots of fun in between. It's an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All my black girls come to me and say, brother, how you get that white girl, man? Tell me how you get that white girl. Say, brother, how you get that white girl? That's all my friends. They are all black dudes from the 70s. Say, Jack, how you get that white girl, old John ass? Come on, look. I'll tell you how you do it, people. I'll tell you how you do it. There's two ways to do it. You either go gangster or you go gumbo. Yeah. You gotta be real gangster or real Brian Gumbo. That's the only two ways you can have it. Now, if you're gonna go gumbo, if you're gonna be gumbo, you gotta say things only Brian Gumbo say. Like, hey, baby, you wanna go to Neiman Marcus and get some Birkenstocks? like sitting on Birkenstocks. Like, this is Birkenstocks. Now, if you want a little gangster, you're going to be gangster with it. Yeah, say things only gangsters say. Like, say, chick, why don't you come over here and put your fingerprints on this gun? I don't know what gangsters actually say. I just made that up right now. I'm wearing a bow tie. You can't really know gangster.
Hey, that's our comedian of the week, Theo Taylor. Funny dude. Barry gave you a little bit of the backstory. That's clip number one. We'll have two more. One at 2:15, one at 3:15. So check them out and enjoy that.
Write that down, Nick. If you want to get a white girl, you either go Gumball or go gangster. Okay? You remember that. Theo's hilarious, man. One thing that people don't know about Theo, man, is he tours a lot with Carlos Mencia. So he's been on the road. He's been opening for him for a while, but he opens for a lot of big names that come through. He does a lot at the Improv, and he features for a lot of bigger named comedians that'll run through. He's a regular at the Improv, but like I said, he doesn't do a lot on social media. He's not very active, like trying to put his stuff out there, but he's a solid, funny, working comedian that like I said, tours a lot with Carlos Mencia, and he's
a beast, man.
He's won. No. See, every time Carlos Mencia comes up, that's the only thing people say.
And I used to think I've never seen him before. I've seen him in concert. I think he's funny, dude.
By the way, when Carlos Mencia comes to town, I'm not asking him on the show. Because there's no way I'm going to subject him to you asking him about stealing jokes. And then watching you get punched in the face.
I'm going
to
be the 97.9 with the James Harden interview of the bunch. I just be like, hey, man. Hadn't it been great to have your career be this long? Barry's got some questions for you, too. You go ahead.
You're so original, Carlos. No.
When do you write your best jokes? When do you write your best jokes? When you're sitting in the audience watching one of your guys open for you?
See, I'm not doing that. You're not getting me killed. No way. Okay. But check him out. I asked him if he had a Twitter, and he never told me yes or no. So I have no way to promote him. But Theo Taylor, hilarious dude. I want to say he won Houston's Funniest several years ago, and that was when it was around. That was a really prestigious contest that a lot of funny guys that have gone on and done some pretty big things have won. So he's amongst those, I'm pretty sure.
Cool. All right. Last night, football, you were busy. Football last night,
I was busy.
Too. So I'm thinking I'm going to watch the Astros, but I'm going to check back and forth on NFL Network because they were going to show Packers and they were going to show all the games. They do like kind of like a red zone where they constantly are flying around to show you what's going on in the preseason games. And then I realized there was a lot of news in the NFL for the third week of the preseason just by what happened in games last night.
Yeah. The big news, I think, is obviously Cam Newton getting injured. And turns out they did an X-ray right after. But it turns out nothing was broken, but he's suffered a mild midfoot sprain. They are hoping.
Optimistic.
There's optimism that he'll be ready for week one. And I thought the point you made during the break was pretty spot on.
Yeah, he may not make it for week one. They're playing Aaron Donald and the Rams. If you're not 100% and you got that defense coming after your ass, you might want to wait till week two. I think I tweaked it a little bit. It's not feeling great. I'll sit this one out.
Doesn't it feel like Cam is injured?
Well,
often does it feel that way
lately?
Because he's not, and
the thing is he was up for MVP a couple years ago, and unfortunately, after they got to like they started off the season like 10-0, and then they just completely came crashing down. But and then they reported he had the shoulder injury last year. He had off-season shoulder surgery. That's why they've been nursing him back slowly. Yeah. I saw the hit against the Patriots last night. It didn't look like much. And then they said he wasn't going to return. Then they said he went in for X-rays. The general manager had to come out today and say, look, we still are optimistic he'll be ready for week one. But I just didn't think it was that serious.
Well, ESPN put a graphic up when they were talking about it. 2014, 2016, 2018 is all injury seasons where he's had to have work done in the offseason or whatever. But I was like, man, I feel like because of that, it's like every other year we talk about Cam and an injury. I was surprised. If I made you guess how many games he's missed from the beginning of his career in 2011 through 2018, how many games played do you think he's missed total?
Games played
from,
or missed?
From 20 games played.
From
like,
11
like year
until
one, he
last
played in
year,
16 games. How many games has he missed?
I'd say he's missed 8 total games in his career.
5.
Wow.
Right? I would have said the same thing. 8, 10, maybe even a little higher than that. He missed 2 games in 2014, 1 game in 2016, and 2 games last year. That's it. for a guy that's a running quarterback, and you know, but he's not that mobile, but he moves around a little bit, but he's not, I guess he wouldn't call him a running quarterback, but
he's hard to bring down. I'll tell you this.
That's probably more accurate than running is. Yeah, he's, because that's Big Ben, right? Big Ben's not a running quarterback, but he still moves around. He's hard to bring down. You
of
feel
the
like
two guys,
he's
though, Roethlisberger doesn't look like, when you see him on TV and everything like that, he doesn't look like he would be this specimen, intimidating, standing there. But when you are in the same room and standing next to Cam Newton and you realize he has the height of a basketball player,
he's a big dude.
But like he is
6'5",
muscular and ripped up like you would not believe.
6'5", 245.
And I think he's a lot more selective about, because he was actually blocking at some, like his early years, like his first year or two, like he was putting his body in the line a lot more than I think he does now. And the reason why he was doing that is because he could get away with it, just like you mentioned.
Dude, yeah, 6'5". He's rocked up. I mean, he looks like he should be like a linebacker, only he's 6'6", and he can wing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's intimidating in when you're in his presence.
So my point is, though, when you have a guy that is hard to bring down, he's not – I wouldn't call him a mobile quarterback, but he does run. I mean, he rushed for almost 500 yards last year.
I think if anything, you call, but you I don't call just, him a mobile quarterback because he sits there too long. He doesn't run quick enough.
I just feel like a lot of times, and we're all guilty of this at some point, where you maybe see a black quarterback and you're like, oh, he's a mobile running quarterback, and I wouldn't – Cam will sit in the pocket. That's the thing.
See, I wouldn't call him – I would say he's a mobile quarterback. I don't think he's a running quarterback because I don't think he runs unless he has to.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you've got Deshaun. You've got the kid in Baltimore where they
Lamar
run
– Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson, where they run plays for those two guys to actually get out and run. I think if you're Ron Rivera and the Carolina coaching staff, you'd rather Cam doesn't because he's a big target too.
Yeah.
But if he has to – he can run over people to get you some yards.
But a guy that's taken a lot of hits, that does get out of the pocket, like I said, he rushed for almost 500 yards last year. You feel like he would be banged up more. Missed five games since 2011.
Awesome. Wow.
Pretty durable, all things considered.
Yeah, and they're saying that the Carolina is set up to have a bounce-back year and have a great year. They've added some receivers, so he has some more weapons. R.J. Moore is one of them, and everybody's thinking of big things for Christian McCaffrey, so it'll be interesting to see how
either of you draft play. Cam in your leagues?
No.
Oh, good. That was smart.
I have Drew Brees and Mitch Trubisky.
Mm.
And I will use Mitch Trubisky once.
Bye week?
Bye week,
yeah. That's probably
pretty
smart.
Much. So
let me see. I wanted to look this up. What do you think Cam's rushing yards over the years are? What do you think the most he's rushed for in a season? If he rushed for 488 last year.
750.
That's pretty good. 754. Nailed it.
It's okay. Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
For a quarterback.
I mean, you've got a quarterback that runs for 754 yards. That's pretty stout. And he's done that. He's done 706 his first year, 741 his second year, and then 2017 he ran for 754 yards. So pretty stout. I mean, he does get out and move, but again, he's more mobile than he is running.
I think he's smarter,
like.
Too. He realized with all the yards that he had gained, he'd also taken some sharp hits, some pretty big blows.
The shoulder.
Yeah.
Shoulder.
So therefore,
that shoulder
he probably
surgery.
As he got older, he probably decided, you know what? I should probably get down and get out of bounds and not run as much.
Yeah.
So other
I'm sure
than that,
Jimmy Garoppolo is going to think the same way as well, right?
Yeah,
he should have just ran out of bounds instead of doing what he did, and then he ended up tearing his ACL.
Yeah, he lowered the shoulder, and the guy from the Chiefs put him out for the year.
Well,
and just teed off on him. And it was a legit hit.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't get to watch the game. Did you watch any of the game at all?
I watched several. Which games? The football games?
Yeah, the Carolina game. I'm just curious. Will
there was
Greer,
not a lot of
Kyle
scoring.
Allen, any
nothing big in that game that I saw either way. It wasn't a big deal. The other big stories were the Raiders and Packers played up in Canada, which is just kind of a joke that people didn't investigate the field. And then they pregame, they
I
decided because the Canadian, so the Canadian field is longer, right, with bigger end zones. So they had to move the goalposts and put the NFL goalpost at the back of the goal line. Well, when they picked up the Canadian goalpost, there were like these big holes in the end zone, and they didn't think they could fill them in time. So then, genius, they just go, well, you know, we don't want these people to leave because they didn't want to refund the money. So they're like, we'll just make it an 80-yard field, and so they just moved the pylons to the 10.
That's weird.
And it was just a really awkward, and so
I saw a touchdown pass, and I was like, huh?
And the Raiders left 22 guys at home already. They weren't going to play a lot. And then when Matt LaFleur saw what was going on with the field, he sat 33 players.
Ooh.
So it was just a joke show of just backups.
Okay, when we come back, Cody Stutes is going to join us.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point in this hour, I want to open up the discussion about cheering during preseason games.
How about cheering at a bar when no one can hear you at the field?
We can do that too.
Okay.
I thought about this today because the Texans play the Cowboys. So I want to talk about preseason cheering, preseason trash talk. Let's discuss that.
Okay.
But next is Cody Stoops.
The birthday boy coming up next.
What?
Cody
it's his birthday?
Stoots. Yeah, he'll talk and Texas training camp and other things. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock and the Blitz takes over. You want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. And joining us now to talk a little Texans, the birthday boy himself, Cody Stoots. It's your birthday today?
It is my birthday, yes.
Well, happy birthday.
I'm the biggest 30-year-old baby you've ever seen.
So you're 30?
I'm 30.
I'm not touching that.
Wow. You're kind of crossing that threshold into old man category.
Yeah, I already pretty much act and dress like it most of the time.
Like an old man?
Yeah.
So what do you do that you act like an old man?
I want the discounts.
Like, I just
want
to get home and get out of these pants.
That like immediately when I get home, I change the comfy
off?
Clothes.
Hey, appreciate you borrowing me the shorts today, though.
Oh, yeah. A little big on you, are they?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that was nice.
Any big plans for the birthday?
No, nothing right now. Just dinner, maybe some drinks after.
Birthday sex.
You and Nick are going to bang it out.
No. See?
No.
Oh, you and your new wife.
I don't have a wife.
New wife?
Yeah.
What?
I don't have a wife.
Jake
no.
Asman.
Oh,
no.
That's
wow.
Your
work wife. Your work wife. That's tell everybody about oh. The SB Nation show.
Oh, oh you yeah. Son of a gun.
Jake and I are on SB Nation Radio 3 to 7 on Monday through Friday. So you can check that out. If you've heard Jake on here, he's the guy that kind of looks like a redheaded young Charlie.
Sounds like
looks
it
and sounds like
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The main event.
Yeah.
The main event.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. That's what we called it.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Was it? What was the reason behind that?
Because all the other names we came up with were way worse than that.
So there was no like, oh, we love wrestling or we.
Well, I really like wrestling and Jose does too. And then Jake's like, Jake has hardly no idea about wrestling. So then we thought it was funny because we have like some wrestling themed stuff in there.
And he doesn't get it?
All over his head,
okay.
Which is totally great for
most
us.
Most things in life for Jake are over his
oh,
head.
Oh, short joke number
he's
two.
Short,
if
yeah.
You're
The Odd Couple didn't fit well?
No, I didn't fit.
No. Okay. No.
All right.
No. Okay.
So you've been at Texas camp?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching the Texans this
Who
week.
Was it that got the goat in the ire of Bill O'Brien with the Matt Khalil question?
Oh, that was the night guy at 6'10".
It was?
The new guy.
Who? What's his name?
Matthew Jarecki.
That's okay. The guy that produces his
Welcome
own show
Houston,
while he's on the
bud.
Air.
Yeah.
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 Oh, really?
Sort of, oh, yeah.
It's sort of like
How
a writer.
How hard is that?
I mean, he's Nick and he's us at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That can't be good.
Well, evidently he's so ticked off, he just took it out on Bill O'Brien and kept pushing the question.
I thought he asked, so Bill O'Brien does this thing where if the offense looks bad in like the last 2-3 minutes of practice, he usually is none too pleased to get to the podium. Like he wants to get in and start digging in the film and stuff. And so he was walking over and I was like, uh-oh, we're getting bad, Bill, today. And then the first question was from Aaron Wilson. He's like, Aaron, I can't hear you. Like,
oh, boy. He's like your dad when he comes home from a bad day at work.
Yeah.
And then just takes it out
yep.
on you.
It's a yes. great call.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I don't feel like this. Someone just bring me a beer and leave me alone.
And then it was like, is Matt Khalil hurt? And then it was,
yeah, he
immediately.
Did.
Here's what's sad. All right. Now, we got into this yesterday a little bit, and I want to talk actual players on the field and not Bill O'Brien with you.
Sure.
But do you find it sad or strange at the very least that you've got this emotionally volatile head coach that you're almost, uh-oh, what bill are we going to get today? Is it, I feel like there's a certain amount of professionalism that should just be, this is your part of your job, this is what you have to do every day, and you know it.
I'm confused by this happening in the, like, week three of the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, if this was... If this was week four last year when they were 0-3 and hadn't won a game yet and they dropped one to the Giants, who were one of the worst teams in football, everyone's like, you know, he's in a bad mood. It's worth being in a bad mood over this. But, like, they looked great in the starters looked great in the second preseason game. I mean, I put this out on Twitter earlier this week. Last year, they scored on their opening drive twice.
Ooh.
They punted on their opening drive 8 times. Yeah, yeah, pretty bad. So for them to score on the opening drive with like half the starters in there, like, okay, that's like a small thing you can take away from preseason.
Yeah.
It's like they've looked okay. Like there's nothing really to be upset about except for this weird thing that he's doing with Matt Khalil.
And you and I have talked about this off the air as well, but it's just befuddling to me because of the fact that what everybody else sees, and I've talked to Braddock and other people as well, and they're like, Khalil just doesn't look good. He looks overmatched in the Green Bay practices. Yeah. There was video out there of him getting just Mack trucked. But then everything you hear from Bill is he's his starter and he's looked good.
So the way he's acting with Matt Khalil is one of the strangest things I've ever seen him act since his time coaching the Houston Texans. Like, he just doesn't usually act this way with guys. If a guy's hurt, just tell us he's hurt.
Right.
I mean, he's clearly hurt. Like, you have people like, hey, does Matt Khalil have a foot injury? And then Bill O'Brien's like, well, a foot injury? Like, did you eat the cookies off the counter? Like, did I eat the cookies off the counter? Like, quickest way to tell someone's lying is when they repeat the question back to you in like a higher pitch.
Yeah.
Right.
A foot injury? Like, he's clearly hurt. The last time he practiced was the first Detroit joint practice. Mm. He hasn't been on the field since. He walks around like a 90-year-old man when you see him. Like, there's clearly something wrong. It's okay if he's hurt. I understand.
What's a built-in excuse, then, for all the people that are being honest about how bad he's played?
Yes.
You got a built-in excuse.
Yeah, well, you know what? Hey, Matt's hurt. Like, okay, well, then there's this conversation of, like, well, he was hurt all last year. Did you think he was going to stay healthy? Like, the guy continuously gets hurt. It's just very strange how he's operating. And Khalil's play, I mean, it was at a average level when camp started, and it just kept getting worse. And, it like, there'd be a little slight tick up, and then it just keep getting worse. Yeah, there was some guy on who's not going to make the Lions that just put him right in Deshaun Watson's lap last week, and I was like, oh, that's good. I don't think he's going to play tomorrow, and if he's that hurt that he's been off for a week plus, he's missed all this work, and like this is install time. Like, you're putting in stuff ahead of playing the Saints. Like, you're getting ready for week one of the season, and he's not there to walk through some of these things. Like, that's a concern. And by the way, if he's hurt, you owe him all the money.
Right.
I think you owe him a significant portion of the money. Not that it matters. They got a gazillion dollars in cap space they didn't do anything with.
Is he going to be, because when asked when all this went down, someone, I think the follow-up was, is he going to be your starter day one?
I believe, barring this injury lingering to that point, I believe that when they take the field in New Orleans against the Saints, he'll be playing left tackle.
Do you think that's the best decision?
No, I don't.
Is there a better left tackle on this team? And who is it?
It's Roderick Johnson. He has had...
I keep hearing that.
And again, what we have to understand what we're looking at. Like, if Matt Khalil is Salisbury steak, Roderick Johnson's just like a really nice meatloaf. Like, it's not like I'm saying Roderick Johnson's like a really great left tackle.
Yeah.
He has just looked better than Matt Khalil. And the big thing for Roderick Johnson... consistency. Like, he has had a consistent level of play, whereas Khalil has had these ups and a lot more downs. Roderick Johnson has at least been consistent. I'll be really anxious to see how many of the Cowboys starters play, and then if Roderick Johnson gets out there, how he looks against some of those Cowboys starters, because this, I mean, he is building a case. This guy went from, I was joking about how which club he's going to bounce at when he gets cut, to he has to make this team in case Matt Khalil isn't good or gets hurt.
So how many starters do you think play tomorrow? I mean, look, I was very encouraged. I told these guys, I was encouraged by the way Deshaun came out and the way the offense looked on that first series in week two. But now I'm wondering, it's the Cowboys. You know, some people are going to make it bigger than it is, but do you put them out there for that long?
If they score on the first drive, I don't think you'll see the starters for the rest of the time. Like, some of the guys have to play, like, you know, a few of the offensive linemen would be good to get them some more reps. But Deshaun, if they score on the first drive, or they look good on the first drive, they get some good plays, you know, 7-8 plays, something like that. I think Deshaun's down. Hopkins is down. I'm not sure. Fuller left practice in the middle of the other day, and people kind of freaked out, like, oh, Will Fuller's hurt again. And then O'Brien said after practice, no, we have him on our rep count, and then he sits when he gets to his rep count.
That's so sad.
And that's something they did with Hopkins. That's something they did with Hopkins last year. And like, Hopkins would just randomly walk off with a trainer, and everyone would be like, oh, my God, he's hurt. And then like, he was back the next day. So I'll be anxious to see if Fuller gets on the field against the Cowboys tomorrow. But if they I would say probably 10 to 12 plays. If that takes two drives to do it, you know, two drives. But I don't think you'll see a ton of the Texans starters.
Especially after what happened to Cam last night.
Well, yeah. It hurts his foot.
Yep. What about this? I mean, a lot of talk is what's going to happen at the back end of this receiving core. What's up with that fifth wide receiver spot?
Tyron Johnson and Vincent Smith have been battling for that fifth spot. And if they're going to keep six, then both those guys are on the team and there's not really a battle. Mm-hmm. But if they're only keeping five, which I kind of get the vibe they're going to only try to keep five, then it's between Vincent Smith and Tyron Johnson. And Johnson started way ahead of Smith when camp started, and Vincent's kind of closed the gap. You saw the big play in the second preseason game from Vincent Smith. Tyron Johnson had a couple of opportunities. He dropped the one. He couldn't make another catch on another play. So that's really one of the few battles I'm looking at. Like, okay, that's a roster spot, and with the history of injuries on this team at the wide receiver position, like, that fifth wide receiver should end up playing. And if they could contribute on special teams, that'd be a big bonus too.
So we know it's Hopkins, Fuller, QT. What is, who's four, and who do DeAndre, you think will be five?
DeAndre Carter, and then I believe Vincent Smith's going to be five. He just had a little bit of a head start. And I think they're going to want Tyron Johnson to end up on the practice squad. I feel like he's probably practiced well enough against some of these other teams, and that maybe the message is kind of spread throughout the league. He might be worthy of a 53-man roster spot somewhere else. I think in a perfect world, they keep five, they keep Vincent Smith, and they put Tyron Johnson on the practice squad. Okay.
All right, there's Cody Stutes. He's brought to you by Twin Peaks. Remember, if you're looking for a great spot to have your fantasy football draft, it's Twin Peaks. It's 29-degree draft beers and made from scratch food. It's eats, it's drinks. It's Twin Peaks.
And hey, I know a way you could pay for your Twin Peaks. If you need a little extra cash, you could use Get Upside and take that cash and go pay for it at Twin Peaks. It's absolutely, you could do that. Now, Twin Peaks isn't a restaurant that I've seen listed in the Get Upside app, but don't worry, there are plenty still listed. You got Cyclone Anaya's if you want some Mexican food. You got Candelaria's Pizza if you want some pizza. You got Popeye's. Everybody wants that new chicken sandwich. How about you can get up to 35% cash back when you go and try that Popeye's chicken sandwich? You're only going to get that deal through the Get Upside app. So go download it right now. Put it on your phone. It is completely free to download. There's no catch. There's no long-term commitments. In fact, I always tell people, if you don't like Get Upside, just stop using it. It's that simple. But you can put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. And then if you want to use it for the gas, which I suggest you do as well, because you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. When you use that promo code Barry, that's going to give you a little extra bump. And I had somebody reach out to me yesterday and say that they got some like 30 something cents cash back on their first fill up through Get Upside when they used my promo code. So don't leave money at the pump, and definitely don't leave money at the table. If you're going to try that Popeye's chicken sandwich, or maybe go to Wendy's or Burger King or any of the other hundreds of restaurants around the city of Houston where you can get cash back, do it using the Get Upside app. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go! Rolling through hour number one of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's an F, yeah! Friday on The Usual Suspects. F for funny, F for football. We just
F for frozen screen on Twitch.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened sure there. What'd you do, Nicholas?
I think it's the maintenance guy, because he's been in here diddling with the camera.
Diddling? Uh-oh, did you diddle it?
You've been diddling with the camera here for a segment or so.
Boy, oh boy.
Now make sure producer Cam gets up and running.
It is. So we can see his ugly face.
Got that right. Man, I'm talking about a horror movie every day.
What? Jeez. That wasn't nice. Thanks to Cody Stutes.
Stutes!
Congrats.
Joining us. Happy birthday to him.
Yep, on his birthday.
Make sure you tweet him at Cody_Stutes and tell him happy birthday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so you want to get into this, that you wanted to start out some preseason talk. What is this about? How people getting excited and cheering about their team in preseason?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and I'm probably going to catch heat for it.
Yeah!
Don't, yeah, after yesterday, yeah, when y'all took that L.
Oh, we did?
We okay. took an L in what?
Nothing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what
My
I mean.
Bad.
Where do you guys stand on cheering for preseason football? Now let me finish this whole thing, because there's two layers to this. But one, I'm watching preseason football, specifically Texans games, and I'm watching people when they score go bananas. Not just clapping, but giving them the full regular season celebration.
In person?
And in the stadium.
Okay.
Fans going absolutely berserk like the game matters and counts. That's part one of this. The second part is, inevitably, this week, and I got this because driving in, I actually was listening to some of the competition. Mm-hmm. I listened a little bit to the 790.
You don't have to tell us.
Folk. I listened a little bit to the 610 folk. Mm-hmm. 610 was running an ad that was like, yeah, we have the game. We're going to break it down. And it's against the hated Cowboys. It also doesn't count. So, inevitably, what's going to happen is that Texans fans and Cowboys fans are going to talk trash to each other over a meaningless game. So I guess this is all under the umbrella of none of this matters or counts. Why are we investing so much into it?
The only thing I can say is the last time the brawls happened between Cowboys Jeez. Fans and Texans fans where they had to make all the changes was a preseason game, if I'm not mistaken.
Again.
And the fans took it all out in the parking lot.
Is it crazy for me to question why everyone gets so invested and excited?
No, because I'm the same way as you. Look, you guys know how passionate I am as a Packer fan during the regular season. Preseason, I could care less. And I'll take it a step further. This happened even the other night at our draft. It happens for Astros. It happens for preseason football. I was at a sports bar with the Texans' second preseason game. Same thing. I don't get it. You're screaming and cheering at the TV. They can't hear you. And like you said, and it's preseason for the football game. Now, the other thing for the Astros, they're doing the same thing, and they're yelling like, get out, throw it, get out. I'm like.
That I get. You're getting off my point. I cheer at a bar. I cheer at a bar when I watch UFC. Yeah. If I'm watching UFC, if I'm at a sports bar and Derek Lewis is, I'm cheering. If I'm watching the Astros and they score, I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
Are you clapping?
Yeah, I'll clap.
I mean, what's
but
the
those
issue
games
cheering,
matter.
Though?
I mean, I'm cheering. I get it. They
like,
can't
I can
hear
be
me.
Excited for my even the regular season, but I'm saying,
but
I get
what
your
I'm
preseason point
is,
because
in the stadium they're going crazy, like any of it matters. And even
you're supposed to though. You're trying to pump up your team. You're representing the home crowd. So
half
if
of those
something
dudes
good happens
and here.
You're at the game, then you're supposed to be showing your team some love.
But. I just feel like people get too invested in preseason.
What's the alternative? They're going to sit on their hands in the preseason because it's preseason?
Don't go. First of all, you paid full price.
You're going to go. You're going to get your money's worth.
You paid real football price money to go watch a fake game.
And that's exactly what my point was going to be. They paid a lot of money even for a preseason game. I guess they should be allowed to cheer, man. They pay for the now. The only thing that I think you're talking about is when you're talking about investing too much. I think you're trying to say. Like when they go too far and they start fights and the trash talking and people they take things personal.
Trash talking online for sure is stupid. The Cowboys fans and Texans fans are going to trash talk each other over a preseason game, and whoever wins that game is also going to trash talk the other team. Then none of that makes sense. I think that is absolutely silly.
I agree with you in that regard. I think they're too invested in that
but
regard.
Even
for sure.
At home watching a Texans game, or if I was in the stadium watching a Texans game as a fan, or if I'm at a bar. These preseason games, I'm not cheering because I don't care. Because all this is a dress rehearsal. All this is a glorified practice.
I get that the score doesn't matter, but I also think there's a huge difference between if you're watching it at home as opposed to if you're in the stadium. Now you're trying to show love for your team, to show them that, give them the support and the backing. But in terms of who wins the loses the game, I mean, look, I'm with you. I mean, Lisa said to me the other night when I was watching the one of the other games too, and she's like, "Ooh, it's getting close. Are you worried?" And I'm like, "No, I could care less. It's preseason. I'm watching like position by position who may make the team, who looks good, who doesn't. But if you're in the stadium, it's a different story because, you know, we talked about Bill O'Brien, but this is the kind of thing that would be brought up. Like our crowd was dead. We thought we'd have a little bit more support to back these young guys.
In preseason?
Oh, yeah. They do it all the time. Green Bay, it's a huge issue right now. Aaron Rodgers is saying they should cut the beer prices in half. They're already talking about how to get it to be more Lambeau Field, and they're trying to get it to be more of a home field advantage. So it's a deal. It's an issue. But I think when you're in the stadium, it's different than if you're watching it somewhere else. I've never understood screaming your brains out when you're watching a game on TV in a bar or something.
Well, I feel like I might be in the minority on this because you guys obviously don't agree with me about not cheering for preseason games.
If you're in the stadium, I think you have to.
Just in case, well, he's kind of messing with you. Thou shalt not be joyous that their team is winning at a bar, only at the field. That's Pac-Man Jordan is now the Pac-Man Joel is now the joy police.
Fun.
A-Bear said, my rule is never care more than athletes playing. That's probably a pretty good rule.
Pretty good.
But I think the guys care.
He was with me at the bar, though, the other night.
And he cared?
Was with me that there were people caring too much for the bar.
I don't think this is Jason A-Bear. It's a different A-Bear.
Okay.
And then Crystal Collins had a great point. If my team does something good, I am going to cheer. Practice, preseason, postseason, Tony Satchery season, I'm cheering.
OTAs, training camps, you don't care.
She's cheering. Okay. Me personally, I think it's silly.
In the building, you think it's silly?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't go to the building, because that's also the point, is everyone wants to bitch about preseason, but then everybody pays the price and goes.
By the way, they're saying last night, with all the injuries and the catastrophe of trying to play a game in Canada and all that, that this could be the turning point towards
4-3.
Legitimately reducing the number of preseason games and doing
something
different.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit.
Yeah, and we already said, ramp up more practices during the week with other teams and cut back on preseason games. All right, that's hour number one. Went by fast. Still 2 hours to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more coming up. So give us a call. Give us a text. Hey, you can reach us via Twitter at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Hour two's coming right here, ESPN 97.5.